Since whosoever should believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We started last week with the principles of giving to the king. And we stated that those principles were that if we give, the wealth of the king is displayed by his power. The wealthier the king is, the greater his reputation is. The glory of the king is to outgive another king. Giving to the king replaces demands on his wealth. That the king is required to respond to each and every gift and is obligated to exceed the gift that he has received. And giving to the king attracts the wealth to the giver, or the law of reciprocity. Today we're going to deal with the other part, and that's the reasons why we give. Kevin, why do you give to the Lord? I can't hear you. I'm getting older and deaf. Okay. Did everybody hear what he said? Now you got to tell them. Stand up and tell them why you give. Turn around. Tell them why. Amen. Amen. That should be our motivation, first and foremost. It is royal protocol to give a gift when visiting another king. And on Sundays, we come and visit with our Father. So it is protocol, because he's king and king of kings. Who's the kings? Usums. Usums. So when we come, we give a gift to the king. It's like our own immediate private audience that we have. And it's not where we pay admission. You know, it really distraughts me when people talk about, you know, I pay my tithes. And you guys have heard me say it over and over, you know, that those people who pay their tithes are probably the most bittersome people that you ever want to meet. And I just like to grab them by the ears, bring them real close and say, don't give. God doesn't need your money, because he has it already. It's his. But God is much greater than that. When we go and we visit relatives, where we're invited to go to a party, some of the things my family does, I can't speak for your family, but what we do is we dial 1-800, whatever the family relative we're calling, and we say, yo, what is it we can bring? Because we want to be a blessing to them. Because, you see, I'm visiting another king or a queen. I'm just rejoicing in what God's about ready to do. So anyhow, back to the message. And what we want to do is we want to bring something as an offering to be a blessing to someone. Okay? Because that's what kings do. Kings go to bring a blessing, not just to take a blessing from it. And when we visit God, we come to bring the blessing to him. Now, what do we receive in return when we go and visit that relative or friend that would, you know, sometimes they'll say, well, don't bring anything. You know, just come as you are, you know. That doesn't work for us, you know. We bring something. But, you know, when we're left to our own devices, what do? We bring a bag of chips, or we bring a soda, or we bring some other junk food, you know, that we like. Right? And that we know that nobody else likes or is afraid to touch because it's just so foreign to us. Or, if they say to us, don't bring anything, how many of us don't bring anything? which is wrong. Because when you visit, you're to bring a gift, no matter what. Okay? That's we call that being conscientious, but really it's an element of hospitality. It's showing forth how hospitable you can be in return for the hospitality to those people that you're visiting. Whether it's bringing a cooler full of ice, or for me it would be any kind of cakes and pies is great. You know, when you come and visit, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Any kind of dessert will work for me. And if I've never had it before, I am willing to dive in and try it at least once or twice. Pray for that spirit of gluttony on my part. But that's what we're to do. You know, we're to do that. And you know what? I have to say, our fellowship does a really good job in that. You know? And I want to commend you to keep doing that. That is great, because you're really showing the heart of God to those whom you're visiting. Don't ever do something that would be contrary to doing that, because we're not to repay somebody or be gracious in doing something, expecting something in return. Okay? But when we give with a heart of gratitude that, hey, you know, they may not invite us next time. Right? Right, baby? So when it is royal protocol to give a gift. It is your protocol and my protocol that when we come before the Lord, we are to bring something to Him. Okay? That gift could be either in a song, a hymn, a word, or today, being obedient to the Holy Spirit and just doing what He wants done. You are offering yourself to be used by God for His purposes, which is awesome, because that's what God wants to do. He doesn't want to use an old, broken down, decrepit person like me. He wants to use young, decrepit, broken down people like you. I guess that wasn't funny. Okay, we'll move on. Now, this gift must be fitting for the king. It is inappropriate and to bring a gift that is inadequate. We should never come empty-handed when we come here. And some of us do. Some of us have some bling in our pocket, and we just say, well, you know, I got this going on, I got that going on. You know, I'm not going to give to God because I have that. That's up to you. It's fine. God doesn't need your money. Like I said earlier, it's His anyhow. We're kind of like on this allowance deal, you know. He gives us 100% of the money, and then he says, okay, you're allowed to do with it as you please, but are you going to honor me in this? And that comes down to the condition of our hearts. And how we treat God, we treat other people. Same way. We'll keep the scenario going on with what we had said, you know, visiting a family and friend. If we don't bring something that's appropriate, that's just as much as an insult as not bringing anything to it. When we visit people, you know, and we should not overstay their hospitality. We should always be looking to be a blessing to them in whatever condition that may be. And again, I say you guys do a pretty good job on that. Pretty good. There's always room for improvement, even in my part. And I got some stuff to improve on. Relating to the gift, our gift reveals the value or worth of the king. Offering our best with a proper attitude of gratitude reveals just what we think of the king. Are we giving God the leftovers? Are we leaving God out? You know, when we talk to people about why we give to the king, do we give it with a heart of gratitude, or do we give it grudgingly? Oh, I mean, I got this bill to pay, or I got that to pay, or I got this coming up, or that. How many times the thing that you've withheld, whether it's financial or whatever, and usually we'll talk about finances because everybody can deal with numbers, can conceptualize numbers. How many times has it been that you withheld your tithe? Something miraculously has gone wrong that it cost you the exact amount of what your tithe was going to be, or a little bit more. Whether the kids got sick, the electric bill was bigger than what it was supposed to be, you got a flat tire or two. Do I hear three? That's it. But again, you know, it's attitude of heart. This gift must reveal how much we value God. And our gifts that we bring to the King are to be offered in humility with sincerity. Isaiah 29:13, and this has been resounding in my spirit for weeks, says, the Lord says, these people come near to me and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. This is God speaking to Israel, but we are spiritual Israel, and He's saying the same thing to us. Do we come and say, oh, praise God, praise Jesus, but yet our hearts are someplace else? We're giving Him praise or lip service, but really, truly, is our hearts involved in what we're doing? The value we place on the King is His worthship. His worthship of where we get worship from. You see, giving to the King is an act of our worship. It's not something extraneous. It's not something that we made up. It's all part of the package. It's just another aspect. Whether God gives Lou a word and she stands up and says, Pastor, I believe God's given me something here. This is what He says. All right, we'll give it to Him. Or a vision comes forth and Dan says, Pastor, God's showing me this. You know, give it to Him. It's all part of the package. It's not something that we... Oh, I forgot. Catch up with you in a couple of weeks. God will hold you to it. He did it to me. He'll definitely do it to you. But it is our worship of Him. And come to the King without a gift is the epitome of disrespect to Him. It is the greatest insult that one king can bring to another king. Even the Magi, according to Matthew 2:11, when the Magi came to Jesus and Jesus was just born, they came empty-handed, right? No, they didn't. Brought gold and myrrh and frankincense. All these were the most valuable commodities at the time. And they gave it to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What is Jesus worth to you? If you offer nothing to Him, He already knows how much you value Him. Remember that the gift attracts the King's favor. The King is especially attracted to those who are willingly and gratefully give to Him. God does not forget, except when we sin and we get it under the blood. When we do things in ignorance and we get it under the blood, God will forget it because it's as far as from the east is to the west, the north is to the south. But in things that He has instructed or He has come from the pulpit, He holds you and me accountable for those things everything. We are accountable for what we hear. Proverbs 18:16 says, a gift opens the way for the giver and ushers him into the presence of the king. Some translations say, the great. To gain access to the king's throne is to exercise royal protocol in giving. Peter says, you know, husbands, don't be angry with your wives, because in doing so, your prayers will be hindered. We can give all the offerings and we can do all the stuff, but if we are not doing the things that are accordance to what God has instructed us to do, we do not earn His favor, we earn His disfavor. And we want His favor, we want His grace, we want all those things, because He expects kings to act differently than the rest of the world acts. I'll give you an example. We are invited to a 50th wedding anniversary, and we were at their son's and daughter's wedding. And they did not attend our daughter's wedding. And the first thing that's in my heart is, well, I guess this is a great opportunity to repay what was sown into our lives. And the minute I said that, the minute my conscience came and said, you're a king, you don't act that way. Scripture says, don't replace evil with evil. Replace it with love. And so, guess where we're going? Even I struggle. Even I. Matthew 10:41-42 says, anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And anyone who receives a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And if anyone gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. What was Jesus saying here? Sometimes confuses us because we really don't understand, what's this prophet's reward? What's he talking about? And I've heard some teaching that sounded pretty good, but really didn't make it into my spirit too much. And some of that teaching is, well, you know, if you receive a prophet, you get the prophet's reward. You can pick the prophet's brain, and he can prophesy over you personally. You have this one-on-one prophecy going on in your place, and you can benefit from that. And part of that is true, but that's not what the Lord's talking about here. What he's talking about is, if you receive a prophet and you take care of that prophet, you meet his needs, you meet her needs, their needs, whatever, God will repay you for your generosity of care for that one. It's giving to another king. It may not be the King of Kings, but it's giving to a king. And this is what God wants us to understand, that these gifts that we give are not just to Him, it's to everyone. Jesus wants us to act in accordance to what a king would act, in spite of any insults that may come our way, in spite of any injustices that come our way. We are expected to behave as kings. Giving to the king acknowledges his ownership of everything. What we're doing is just giving it back to God. Giving to the king is an act of thanksgiving. When we give to each other, we're thanking God for the opportunity. You may not see it as such, but it is. You know, when we're invited to go to someplace, it's an honor that that person has bestowed upon us. And we return that honor by bringing a blessing to that person who has thought enough to honor us. And this is all in correlation. This is only the first reason why we give, because it's royal protocol. What are some of the other reasons? We give because we are kings and should always be givers, just like our Father. When we give to the body, we are giving to Christ. When we're giving to each other, because we love each other and we serve each other, we're actually serving Christ. Giving should be automatic every time we meet one another. Should be. Should be the first thing on our minds. How can I bless this person? How can I meet a need for this person? What should I do to be a blessing? Is that on your first things of agenda? Giving to the king places demand on his wealth, but in return, it attracts his favor. It's not the mafia.
Oh, you, I got something for you to do. And you do it for me, and I will consider it a favor, you know? And if there's anything you would have of me to do, I would do it for you, okay?
I got him that time, didn't I? Believe me, I talked with a mafia hit guy one time who got saved. And I sat down with him and I talked to him. And I asked him, I said, you guys really talk like that?
He goes, no, we don't talk like that.
I said, oh, okay. Okay, you don't talk like that. But he brought forth how the kingdom of God is analogous to the mafia. And someday I'll relate that to you. But not today. But we attract the king's favor. Giving is the highest expression of our worship and honor to the king. Whether it's to the little kings or to the King of Kings, we honor. I hope today that what God has done in cleansing out some of the junk in your lives and understanding these principles in which we're supposed to operate in, that you come away with something a little bit more than just some religion. That you come away understanding that there is a right way for the people of God to operate, and then there's a wrong way. And God will repay. Be no mistake about that. He will repay us according to how we serve and give. The next several weeks, leaders are going to share some things that God's been speaking to them about. And I'm real interested to hear what God's got to say through these vessels. I know next week is one on vision, and it may take a couple weeks for vision. But I want you to understand that this kingdom series hasn't stopped. It just gives me a time to spend before the Lord in my studies to begin to bring how to do this stuff. It's one thing to know that we're kingdom people. It's another to know what the principles are. But isn't it much better when we know how and why we do these things? And today was just a little taste of that, in which we understand that if we want to receive grace from God, we must give first to Him. If we're going to have Him honor us, we must honor Him first and foremost. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It's first things first. We can't expect to receive something from God until He receives something from us. It's the old proverbial story of the sower and the seed. You can't get a crop until you plant one. And if you can understand that parable and understand everything that's in that, you can understand all the principles of the kingdom of heaven. They are not difficult. What they are is they will wrench our hearts in such a way that we will either conform to the image of God and become that king or queen, or we will not. I believe here that God's people want to be those kings. They want to be a section of the kingdom of warriors. I believe that God wants to raise up this Joshua generation in such a way that it'll be, all right, what else can I do for you, God? What is it that you're saying? And with that, we will see souls being won. We will see streams really have an impact in the people's lives. Not only in your lives, but actually you now pouring out into other people's lives in a positive way. If you can begin to grab a hold of your vision and really give it to God, He will make it happen. It's all up to us. Amen? Father, I thank You for Your Word. I know, God, that Your Word is true. I know Your Word works, God. As long as we operate by faith and step out on Your Word, God, You will make it happen. God, I thank You for what Your Spirit has done today in our midst, God. And I pray, God, that You edify and build up streams in such a way, God, that these days of dryness, these days of lack, these days of not having all the latest, greatest, God, would be just a memory. Because You are the greatest thing that we could ever ask or imagine, God. You are the great supplier of everything that we could ever want. You are He who is more than sufficient than anything that I could even imagine, God. And God, Your Word is alive. It is powerful. It is like a two-edged sword that's able to cut between the soul and the spirit. It is like a sword cutting between the flesh and the bone. It is able to separate the two. It is alive. It is our bread that we must feed on daily, God. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that You cause our hearts to hunger more and more for Your Word. Give us understanding and revelation of what You want to do in our lives. Whether we're 10 years old or 50 years old, God, it doesn't matter. Cause a fresh wave of Your Spirit to come upon streams today, God. Flood us to overflowing, God, in power and in might. But most importantly, God, that You fill our hearts with love. Fill our hearts with a love for You, God, that is second to none. And fill our hearts with love from You to Your people that would be second only to You, God. God, I thank You for this day. I thank You for Your people. I ask that You richly bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen.